here, starting the paragraph, MS Tuchata Bachar Yisrael on page Kuf Yudalit, I believe that's where we're up to. Page Kuf Yudalit in the new printing, in the 13th parak. In the old printing, it's page Kuf Lamed Hey, in the middle of the paragraph on top, the second line, I believe. That's where we're up to. Before we begin, just a few short announcements. First of all, one of the people, the Sfarim that we use extensively is called the Birkas Avraham, Rabbi Avraham Erlinger, who's a Sefer that I use myself, but in all yeshivas in general, all over, he is perhaps from those Mechaber Sfarim that are alive today, perhaps the most popular Mechaber Sefer, and it could be even in the past, I don't know, 50 years or maybe even more. Who's more popular than the Birkas Avraham? Past 100 years, is there anyone? Past 100 years, I don't even know. Who's more popular than the Birkas Avraham? Bachanan Kovitz Shurim, yeah, that's 100 years. That's around 100, but 50 years, the past 50 years. Maybe since Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, no one's put out a sefer that's been so popular. We have tons of sets of them over there, Birkas Avraham. They're in every Beis Medrash. It's a classic sefer. It's unbelievable. As Rav Mati Polensky said to me, he wants to understand, like, what was his schus that he's such a, that his sefer is so matzliach. And he's Baruch Hashem, he's alive and well. He's not young, but he's youthful. And he is available for people to speak to. So there are some bachurim that have gone to him in the past, and they asked me to come with them. So we're going to hopefully go maybe tomorrow night, but sometime soon, together to his house. If you want to come, he doesn't speak English good, but hopefully we'll try to translate, and he'll probably give us a few words of English, and we'll be able to do that. A week from tonight is the night before Shavasar B'Tammuz. So there's a few things that we usually, the night before Shavuot, times we try to go to the Kaisel and do something called Tikkun Leil Chatzos. I spoke about it when we were in Tzfat. Tikkun Leil Chatzos is what the tzaddikim of the generation do, Tikkun Leil Chatzos, which is at 12 o'clock at night, they go, they take off their shoes, they sit on the floor, and they cry in Churban HaBayis. Now, it's not the type of thing that we do every single day because we're not tzaddikim. But I did speak to some of the tzaddikim, and they told me to bring the bachurim once a year to go on Shavasar B'Tammuz, as we're segueing into the 3 weeks, is a good thing. So anyone that wants to come with me, b'li neder, a week from tonight, I'm going to go to the Kaisel and sit there with some of the holiest people of the generation, and say, there's different things to say, Tikkun Leah, Tikkun Rachel, Tikkun Leah. We won't say the whole thing, but we'll say some of it, and hopefully we'll be able to get us a little bit into the atmosphere, into the mindset of the 3 weeks. Before that, we will be having hopefully a barbecue in yeshiva. We do have some unfinished business with a sheep, which we have to take care of, which we will hopefully do then. Then be followed by a barbecue, and that will also be a time to, but we can, we're going to recognize all of the wonderful, phenomenal years that we had together with Rav Moshe Lieberman. As I'm sure you know by now, Rav Moshe is going to be leaving his position in the yeshiva. He hopefully will still be here as much as possible, but his position in yeshiva, he will no longer be holding. There's going to be someone taking his shir, Beis Hashem. There's a younger man who gave the mishmar, not this week, the week before. His name is Rabbi Elio Yari. He is going to be taking over his shir, Beis Hashem, coming next year. This Monday night, we are going to give recognition and thanks to Moshe for all of the tremendous experiences that we had together. So everyone is obviously encouraged to join us and to be there. That's a week from tonight. But tonight we are doing the Chovetz Talmidim. I don't know if we're going to be able to continue next week. I guess we'll have to see what happens next week. But right now, here we are, and we're up to here, ube'emes tuchel ata b'chir Yisrael. Rabbi Yisai, this is big stuff. This is important stuff. So listen up. Be'emes ata. The truth is, tuchel ata b'chir Yisrael. You, b'chir Yisrael, are able. L'hoitzi mikir b'cha, netiyos v'tikunim asher lo shi'arta b'hem, ube'atzmecha lo tevinem. You are able to take out of yourself a certain nature and certain, be able to make fix certain things that you never imagined. you never envisioned. You won't even understand them. A person is capable of doing things that he doesn't even understand. I was today with Rabbi Yisrael Glustein. I went to Rabbi Yisrael together with one of the Bachram in Yeshiva. And he said to me, I want you to know, you have very fine a Bachram in your Yeshiva. He says, the kunz is get the Bachram to realize how good they are. Try to get the Bachram to realize how good they are. That's what he said to me. And we don't even understand what we're capable of. We don't even understand what we can do. Yochel ata lamashal, you are capable. Lovein leratzon toiv lechazak. You're able to come to such a strong ratzon, desire, good desire. Hechazak gam imcha, that's even stronger than you thought you were. Asher kol atzmecha meshubad leratzon toiv. Everything about you has become, you feel like almost obligated for this ratzon. You're forced, lamaloisoi bal korcha. You're like possessed with a mission. You have no excuses. There's no svaris. Margish ata bekir becha kilu pisaim. You feel inside of you like suddenly, Ruach Hashem chazak. This is very powerful spirit. Mefarikarim, you can just take apart mountains. Meshaber Sloim, you can just break rocks. Ponga b'chutz inside of you. V'yishalcha al avoida zuvazu, and they're going to ask you on this avoida and on this avoida. V'yisa'acha al avoida zuvazu, it'll bring you, carry you to do this avoida. V'askolam aniyos, and everything that's getting in the way, yifarik. You just dismantle. Ves kolei kuvim. And anything that's holding you back, yishavu, you're just going to break through. You're capable of doing that. Of getting such this spirit, such a drive. Hashem hu Elokim. Va'ata avdoi muchroch ata la'avdoi. You could be, just feel like there's no turning back. There's no other option. I'm going to make this happen. It's going, and there's a strength that you don't even know that you possessed. You know, you had. And you could do this. The Pasuk speaks about Yaakov Avinu. Pilei Ployim, what happened with Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu is there, and he comes to the well, and there's a bunch of shepherds standing around. He's talking to them, and then comes Rachel. And Yaakov Avinu says to them, you know, guys, it's not time, you know, you got more work to do. This is not, lo eisei osef ela mikneh. Why don't you give them to drink and leave? And they said, look, this is a big stone over here. We can't lift this stone. And Yaakov Avinu lifts the stone all by himself. Now, you already have a bunch of shepherds. Now, let me explain to you. Yaakov Avinu is, imagine for a second, he's a yeshiva guy, right? Sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash. He's not doing much athletics. You got these shepherds, they're out there with the sheep, and they're coming, and they're going. These are strong, big guys, and the whole group of them can't do it. Comes Yaakov Avinu, and he picks up the stone all by himself. How's that happen? Chaim Shmulevitz asks, how does that happen? And he says, Yaakov Avinu didn't have more muscles than they did. He had more desire than they did. He was a man who lived his passion and his desire. When you have so much drive, you could do things that people don't realize they could do. You don't know that you could do that. You don't realize you could access the type of strength. We don't realize how fast we could run, how high we could jump, how much we could lift, how much we could focus, how hard we could do things. We just don't realize. And then all of a sudden, it's like, where'd that come from? That's you. But a person has to be ma'oyer desire, rotzen. And you can get that. A person can get that rotzen. If he embraces the mission, there's a story. Rabbi Streicher maybe will correct me because I think it's about Reb Chaim Volozhin, but I'm not positive. But the story I remember, if it's important, I'm happy to find out who the story is about. I think it's Reb Chaim Volozhin. I have a hard time with names, so I'm not remembering the name so well. But the story was as follows. The story was, I think it was Reb Chaim Volozhin, who he wanted to get into a room of Svarim, but the room was being blocked by a Svarim shank, and he couldn't get in. And there was a sefer there that he needed. And it was not possible for him to move the Svarim trunk by himself. It was impossible. But Reb Chaim Volozhin said a Maimer Chazal. Chazal say, Ein Dovar Oymed Lefnei Harotzen. There is nothing that can get in the way of desire. Ein Dovar Oymed Lefnei Harotzen. Now, if Chazal say, Ein Dovar Oymed Lefnei Harotzen, then Ein Dovar Oymed Lefnei Harotzen. It's just a question, do I have that much Rotzen? And he repeated the Maimer Chazal till he felt so much of that drive that I need the Sefer. I have the Rotzen. I have to get it. And he did it, and he pushed the Svarim Shunk out of the way. And he got through. So Rabbi said, there's so many limitations that we have. So many things holding us back. So many excuses. So many weaknesses. But if a person, he just reminds himself that I have the will and the drive and the desire to do this, he can overcome everything. Because nothing gets in the way of desire. And a person can shock himself. And so many times it happens. When I ask a bachur, 3 blot shakavatara bal peh, I can't do that. And he really believes he can't do it. Somehow he did it. Finish the masechta, I can't do that. Finish masechta 5 times, I can't do that. But all you have to do is you have to give someone the confidence and the drive. And you have that, you can do anything you want to do. And you shock yourself. How many people have I seen have done things that they never thought they could ever do? They never imagined it. I shock myself sometimes. I never thought I'd be able to be here. And the way that I did what I did, and everyone here can probably say, I did things I never thought I could do. So it doesn't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't say, okay, look, I'm pretty stark for where I came from, or pretty stark from my friends, or pretty stark from my yeshiva. Don't stop there. It doesn't have to stop there. We can keep going, my friends. Because if you could do what you never thought you could do, then that just keeps on going. And there is no limit. There's no limit. I remember the last time we learned Makkos. Last time we learned Makkos, and there was a bacher there that made a siyum. The rabbayim can tell me if they were there by the siyum. We called it the balloon siyum. There were balloons by the siyum. I don't know if you remember. And what was the balloon siyum? What was the vort in the balloon? I ordered balloons. The siyum was at my house. I ordered balloons for the siyum. What was the pshat? This was a bacher who never thought he was going to be able to master Makkos, and he did it. And I said, what happens with the balloon is when you let go, you cut the cord, just keeps going, and it flies. Said, a person can do that. All you got to do is, we're just stuck down here with the ikuvim, and we feel, all you got to do is break free, and then it's not like, wow, look at this, I'm 10 feet in the air, I'm 20 feet in the air, you just keep going. Nothing can stop you. And a person has to believe in that. And that's what he says, you'll shock yourself at what you could do. Va'af harbe pratim me'inyoni avoida v'tikun ha'nefesh. There's many details, many pratim in avoida and tikkun, and a person perfecting his neshama, yochol atel takein es atzmocha behen. You can perfect in yourself. Add until you reach the point. Sheyeyose teva shelcha. It can become nature for you, instinct. You don't have to remind yourself every time. It's not the type of thing that you feel like every time you have to constantly be conscious of it. It becomes second nature. It can become second nature. If we just start in your impressionable age when you're young. We're still young. L'mashal. Ata yochol atel hagia. Obviously, we've been talking so much about this. Those of us that have been learning Shmiras Seinayim together, you could come to a point. When you're walking in the street, you're not going to have to say, "Oi, don't look there." On your own, it's instinct. Some people, they automatically turn towards and they go, oh, you can't look at that, and they turn away. You could become a person that naturally looks away. They look away. And as I turn my eyes away from seeing, she'ainayim be'atzmom lo'y tirin ha'esashav, the eyes on their own won't see. It's a story which I've said over many times, and there's a lot to this story, but that I heard from one of Rav Moshe Feinstein's Talmidim, Rav Michal Shurkin, who told me that Rav Moshe had a secretary, and the secretary used to come into the Beis Medrash to bring telegrams to Rav Moshe. You have to understand the entire world. There was dinei nefashos happening constantly with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Entire world was on one person's shoulders. Everyone in Eretz Yisrael, in Europe, America, everyone. Rav Moshe Feinstein was the address. He was always accessible. He always answered the phone. Yadua. He always, there's a story about his wife. That one time that he was like really run down, his wife said she's going to a wedding. She begs him to not answer the phone. Till finally, Rav Moshe said he's not going to answer the phone. And then she leaves, and the phone's ringing and ringing. And she's like, someone's good enough. And ringing until finally he's walking back. And till finally, he picks up the phone and she says, "I told you not to answer the phone." Kitzer, Rav Moshe was always accessible. So his secretary used to come into the Beis Medrash, telegram for the Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi, whatever she called him. I heard this from one of his Talmidim. She wasn't tznias. She didn't dress tznias. So one of the Talmidim said to the Rosh Yeshiva, secretary is coming into the Beis Medrash, she's not tznias. Rav Moshe said, "She's not?" Oy. And he went running to her and told her, "Don't ever come into the Beis Medrash, not tznias." She was, Rav Moshe, he was nothing. It's not the pshat, "Ooh, she's not tznias, don't look." He didn't have an atiyah towards that. It was something that became natural. It became his nature. And we can do that. We could do that if we try, if we work when we're impressionable. If you start when you're older, it will be a struggle the rest of your life. A constant struggle. And it will be so much pain for you. Because you're constantly seeing things that I can't look there. Oh, and you're fighting with yourself. What, we don't want that. But say, "I'm going to give you a mashal." Sometimes it happens that a bachur forgets to put his yarmulke on. And he's walking in the door. "Ooh, I forgot my yarmulke." I ask him, "Did you ever forget to put your pants on?" Somehow, no. No one's ever walked in the Beis Medrash and I say, "Shlomi, your pants." "Oh, my pants. I forgot my pants." It never happens. No one ever forgets to put on their pants. Why not? Because pants is part of, it's natural for me. I always put on my pants. A person can make his yarmulke I always put my yarmulke on. It's the first thing I do is put on my yarmulke. It's not something I have to remember. "Oh, my yarmulke. Oh, I have to put shoes on. Oh, I have to put on socks." So it could be part of, become natural for a person. It becomes a part of them. It becomes part of their personality. We can change what's natural for us. And the truth is, we're not really changing. We're just going back to what we really are. There's a certain self-dignity and respect that we lose because we're amongst Goyim. And we lost it. And we could get back to that if we just start at the right time. Al tedame. Now, Rabbi Yisai, don't think. Shetoyim anu lachshoif alecha shekol kach niskadesh mehera. Don't think that we're so foolish to think that, yeah, it's going to happen overnight and just snap and then all of a sudden you're going to become this happy, holy guy and everything. No. Ad sha'af im eincha al davar asr tiabitena. That even if your eyes would gaze over something that's asr, lo tireno isa, you won't see it. K'moshe bikesh davar amelech. Don't think that we, so foolish that we don't understand you, that it's going to happen instantly. That, right away you heard like a few, shmuzim on Shmir say Nayim and Chovas Talmidim, and then all of a sudden it's just going to happen on the spot. Dal cho ben Yakir, you should just know, my precious child, lo isha anutayim, we're not the ones making the mistake. I'm not reading you wrong. It's not that I don't understand you. Rak b'nei ha'olam tayim. The world, society, is making a big mistake. Lachshoiv al oylom hazeh asher Hashem b'ro'i. They think about this world that Hashem has created. Kimin oitzer shel taivois machshavois v'netivois ra'ahu. This entire world is just this huge oitzer. It's a treasury. It's a sea of taivas that we feel like we're drowning in, and machshavos and netilos ra'ahu, and we have all these bad thoughts and all these bad leanings, and we're being pulled. And if that's the case, anyone who wants to serve Hashem, he has to get out and he has to distance himself totally from this world. I said, look, I can't do that. I can't live there. I'm going to be totally starved of any type of pleasure. I can't do it. I'd rather die. So therefore, they say, like, I'm too distant. I'm too far from Avodah and Kedusha. And they're entrenched in all the stupidity of this world, the shtusim of this world. They totally read it wrong. So many people read it wrong. So many people, they don't understand what Yiddishkeit is supposed to be. They're like a person who saw. Imagine you see someone who's drowning in a river. And he screams out and says, Shahamayim etzem ro'u ba'olam, the water is terrible. V'nivurak lamas, and the water is here to kill me. The guy's drowning in the water. V'kama shaitu ish kazed, the guy's a fool. Can anyone live without water? Water is terrible. Water is horrible. Water was made to kill you. You can't live without water. You didn't use the water properly. There's a sign that says that this is not a place to go swimming. You chose the wrong place to go swimming. So now you're drowning. So now you're saying the water's bad. You're the Meshunga that didn't use the water properly. Instead of using the water to give life to vegetation, chai, medaber, hemis says atzmoy behem, he's killing himself in the water. Roim hema mayim? That makes the water bad? That means the water is bad? How could you say such a thing? It's not the water that's the problem. It's the way that we use the water. My boy says once at the Kaisa. It's davening shachris. Minding my own business in the back corner. And there was a bar mitzvah minion. You know, there's a bar mitzvah over there. In the back. It was like a clearly not so affiliated bar mitzvah celebration. The boy's putting on his tefillin for the first time. And sadly enough, probably for the last time. His father wasn't religious. The grandfather, you know, knew about religion. So the grandfather's trying to help the kid put on the tefillin, right? You know, the kid says, what am I doing? He says, ask grandpa, he's going to tell you. So I'm sitting there, and I'm overhearing this conversation. So he's putting on his tefillin. And the kid says to the grandfather, how do I know when it's like tight enough? So the grandfather says, does it hurt? Because if it hurts, then you're doing it right. So, what's the association here? The association is tefillin is painful. Judaism is painful. It's like the bitter pill we have to swallow. Every once in a while we'll show up to the synagogue and we'll pay our dues to God because we feel guilty. There's nothing enjoyable about this. There's nothing pleasure. It's pure pain. And a person has that, they're totally misusing what tefillin is. Tefillin is teferis. Tefillin is our glory. Tefillin is our pride. Tefillin is something that we're happy and we feel privileged to wear tefillin. Tefillin's not painful, but to him that's what it is. And because it's painful, so his son is like checked out. You know, who's interested? What do I need this for? All this religion does is causes me problems. And people that have that attitude don't understand bichlau what Yiddishkeit is about. It doesn't make any sense, Rabbi Yisrael. Because Baruch Hu created a world so that we should suffer here. He wants us to suffer. He wants us to feel like deprived because other people are having a great time and they're partying and we're not. Does that make any sense? Of course not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us everything to enjoy the right way and the right time. The right way and the right time. There's nothing in the world that doesn't have a place. Everything has its place. Everything has its time. My Rebbe Zalzayin Gesund, legend. It's a legend that he, every man has manim, every day goes to the beach. There's stories, I don't know if it's true, If they ask me Masada Kedushin Ben Azmanim, it's only B'tanai that they take a taxi to the beach, goes to the beach, and then goes to the Masada Kedushin. Every Ben Azmanim, legend that he goes to the beach. He's one of the, he's Matzis Gdoli HaTorah. He's from the biggest people alive in the world today, in Yerushalayim for sure. He loves the beach. We went once to the beach, went to Akko once together. He used to love the beach. He doesn't swim, by the way. He just loves looking at the beach. I don't understand it 100%, but that's what it is. But the beach has its place. They should create the beach. What? So we should suffer? Of course we should enjoy the beach. The right way and the right time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, there's a fish. The fish, I think, is called Sabuta. I don't remember the exact name. I think that's what it is. The fish tastes like chazir, like pig. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a fish that tastes that way. You know why? Because don't think Hashem wants us to suffer and not enjoy. Well, pig, I don't like fish in general, but I'm not so like excited to be able to taste pig. But someone was like, I feel deprived. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's everything for you. Everything you can enjoy is the right way and the right time. The problem is, we don't necessarily believe in the system. So therefore, we try taking shortcuts. I want to do it this way. And not only do we not, like, we end up damaging ourselves in Olam Haba, but we end up drowning in our taivas. We end up frustrated. We end up feeling lost. We end up feeling we're swinging between two trees. We're not sure which side of we're playing on. Are we on Hashem's side? We're on the Yetzirah side? We don't know who we are. And we're being torn apart because we don't believe in the system. Hashem, I don't see how you're going to make me happy. But if you believe in it, it's there. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us everything we could possibly want in this world. Kein hu gam im ha'olam kuloi. This is the way it is with the entire world. Olam shebara Hashem hu. The world Hashem created. Af b'tachtis ha'olam. Underneath the ground, underneath the surface. Becholak mimuyusav, there's lots of like different curves. Vechol pesaltov nimtzam drachim, there's different roads. Mechilos, there's caverns. Ma'oros, there's caves. Asher el boile ve'el adoina adoina ha'ilam avilam. They lead to Hashem. There's ways to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vechol achisoren hu rak be'adam, and the only shortcoming is in man himself. She'eno mishtamesh im divrei ha'ilam letoiv. He doesn't use the divrei ha'ilam letoiv. Rak l'ra. All it is for bad. I want to tell you something very deep, my friends. It's from Rav Hutner. I heard it from Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The word ra, listen to this very deep, is the same word as the word rea. Reish ayin, rea. V'yahafto l'reacho kamoicho. Ra and rea are the same letters. Now that's not because friends are always bad. So what does it mean? Why is rea and ra the same word? Listen to this, the depth, the brilliance. He says, I want to tell you what ra is. Ra is when you take a part of something. Just a part of something. You see, a friend in the language of the Torah is a part of you. V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha means love him like you because he's a part of you. See him as a part of you. Don't just be absorbed in yourself. Include him into the ani. Make him a part of you. That's reacha. Is your friend is a part of you. Ra is when you only use a part of something. You see, the beach is meant to be enjoyed. For what purpose? In order to bring you closer to Hashem. But what happens if you just use the beach just for a chill? Then the beach is bad. Because then you haven't taken it to where it's supposed to lead you. All roads have to lead you closer to Hashem, and they can. Everything in this world can get you there, but you're just using a part of it. So then it becomes ra. Ra, bad. Hashem didn't create anything bad. Everything Hashem is kulo toiv. Bad is because we decided not to use this properly. We're abusing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gifts, but really everything can be good. And everything can be enjoyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to. He gives us brachas and brachas hananin. Enjoy my world. Have a good time. Everything Hashem wants. You do it properly. And it'll give you satisfaction, real fulfillment, real happiness. And that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu says. All roads can lead you to Hashem. V'chol achison rak ba'odom. She'en ha'mishtameh in divrei ha'olam etoiv rak l'ra. V'apasuk machris v'omer. And the pasuk calls out and says, Iveles adam tesalef drochoy. A person who is blind is now straying from his path. V'el Hashem yizaf liboy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu. He's upset. He has tainas halo yesh l'cho. Drochim shemavilin oizcho la'Hashem. V'rak ato u'shem esalef oizem. You're the one who's making these drachim go in the wrong way. You're the one who's straying from the... Hashem says, I'm giving it to you. V'loma oitis raim. So why are we now coming and complaining? V'tadaber sora chas v'shalom. Hashem bara olam shel geshem, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, this materialistic world. Olam she'ef shelabed by esbayin, and it's impossible for me to serve Hashem over here. I can't do it. V'chein b'inyaneinu. So too concerning us. Yochal ata lovei legadlu zois shelo tires Hashem v'esara af b'oidcho b'olam hazeh. You can come to a place where you don't feel tempted. You don't feel drawn. You don't see the ra and the bad and the and what's empty in this world. And even if you haven't yet gotten up to that place where you're already such a big tzaddik, and your eyes are not that kodesh, that you can actually have bad in your field of vision and you don't even see it, you can get there. You start at a young age. We're not there yet, Rabbi Yisrael. But if we start now, we can get there. It's just a process. It's something that if we begin, we have to have faith in ourselves, confidence in the system. And if we do, so then we're going to get to a place that we could only dream of. Imagine. Person changes everything about himself. All he's looking for, all he wants, is to be able to learn, to daven, to do mitzvahs. The satisfaction we could have with our lives. It's not going to happen overnight, but we could start. Like the ways that we've spoken about, we've written here. It's all here in this book. It's simple, and it's a known fact. We all know this, that a person's mind thinks small thoughts without him consciously bringing them to the forefront. Sometimes there's a mosquito that it gives him, it bites him. The mayor misyada lechachech, man, he raises his hand to scratch it. He doesn't even realize. Sometimes he's scratching his head, or he's scratching his arm, or he's touching over here by his nose. He doesn't even realize what he's doing. It's not conscious. It just happens. Not only when he's awake. Even when you're sleeping. Even in his dreams, he doesn't realize that he's doing all of this, and he's twisting and he's turning, and he doesn't know. It doesn't even go through his conscious mind. There's a subconscious. There's something, it's called latent awareness. It's just, it's like a subconscious. Here gishakitza befanav achoshev lahafilas yodai. There's something that feels that there's an itch and he scratches it. I'm going to explain how it happens and what happens. It's not only things that are part of our nature. These are things that are mamish, that are natural for every human being. There are things that we can condition ourselves. We can get ourselves into routine, and we can condition our mind to think certain ways. Gam kein mishtakim b'moichoi sheyachshav levadoi af b'lo yidiyasa. It can go into his mind without him even thinking about it. It happens automatically. You can have automatic thoughts. L'mashal b'yadusa yachalhu lipol mi mishkavoi b'layla. Classic example, my friends, is when a kid's a child, he can fall out of his bed. Because he's not conscious of the fact that, you know, falling out of your bed is a bad thing. When he gets older, the imamish can roll from one side to the other and he doesn't fall off the bed. I have a friend that his family lives in Shari Chesed area. They have a triple-decker bunk bed. They have very big ceilings over there. It's triple-decker, and there's no, like, bar. I was like, that's pretty dangerous, if you ask me. I mean, you fall off that, you're a goner. It's like, well, no one falls off. It's nature. It's part of our... Any guys ever fell out of your bed? A person can create for himself an instinct. We all understand it. And we can train our minds to think certain things in certain ways. It could become part of our nature. It's work. No one's saying that it's not going to be a lot of work. But think about it now. We're young. We're impressionable. You work hard at this age when everyone's jealous. I'm so jealous. I am jealous. Because I'm already at a stage in my life where it's very hard for me. I could do good stuff and I try, but it's very hard for me to create a new nature. You all can do it. You can work hard now. And the rest of your life, you live off of that. The rest of your life becomes your nature. Or not. Or you could say, I'll do it when I'm older. And the rest of your life, it'll be a struggle. And there are things that I struggle with, and I know I'm not the only one, that I struggle with, that I beat myself up every day. Because why was I so stupid when I was younger and didn't take the extra step to make this happen? Why didn't I do that? And you might think, you know, okay, big deal. For me, it's a big deal. And I regret it, and I probably will regret it. I can't imagine. I don't know what's going to change the rest of my life. So I don't want you to have to regret. And if you do, let's regret as little as possible. It's just a little extra work when you're younger, and the rewards are so big when you're older. Part of that is Rabbi Yisai. We have a tendency to be good at, like, the main things. Like, we're good at Shemayin Esrei. You know what I mean? But when it gets to, like, Ein Kelokeinu and Shir Shoyim, it's like, okay, the tefillin are for sure coming off. Never mind, are they, you know, am I already in my bed or something like that? Let's learn how to close, finish the job. Let's learn how to, we started something, let's finish it. So, it's the same thing with Zman. Let's finish the Zman. Let's do this. Let's finish strong. We're not going to, like, you know, just fizzle out. We're going to come in with guns blazing, with a fire burning. Finish strong because we started something. We're going to end it. And Beis Hashem, with Siyata Deshmaya, this will be a schus that will stay with us for the rest of our lives.